Now, I'd also like to read from the Bible with you, this time in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is in our New Testament, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Once again, we're going to be reading words that the Lord Jesus spoke, words that would be good for us to consider. John chapter 14. Please. Chapter 14, verse number 1. In John 14, verse number 1, the Lord Jesus says this: "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither or where I go, you know, and the way you know." Now Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither or where thou goest. How can we know the way?" That's a question that I want to consider for the last part of this meeting. I'm not done reading yet, but I want every one of us to think about this. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh or comes unto the Father but by me." So just to repeat that little interaction, Thomas says, "How can we know the way?" And Jesus says, "I am the way." I was thinking today, this might sound strange to some people why I would think it, I've never been to Australia. Now, I'm looking around tonight, and there may be some people, and you have been to Australia. I've heard lots of good things about it. I've heard this time of year in southern Australia, it's their summer, so it might not be a bad place to be, unless you like skidooing like you boys do. But I did hear about a city in Australia called Sydney. It's quite a major city, isn't it? Perhaps those of you who've been there will remember that in Sydney there's all kinds of large buildings, large population of people, and the Sydney Opera House, I think I read about. Not that I want to go to the opera, but it's interesting to see, right? I've never been to Sydney, Australia. But I have been to Sydney, Cape Breton. And that's different now, right? Now, there's nothing wrong with Sydney, Cape Breton. I go to Sydney and they have everything I need. They've got Tim Hortons and McDonald's and the gas stations. That's all a person really needs, right? But in Sydney, Cape Breton, I have some friends there, go visit there, and I might even be able to get you around a little bit in Sydney, Cape Breton. You say, "Why are you talking about Sydney, Australia, and Sydney, Cape Breton?" Well, in 2017, there was a young man over in Europe who wanted to travel around the world. And he was looking online for airplane tickets. And he found a ticket for Sydney. And he said, "I want to go to Sydney. I want to go down there and I want to see all that Australia has to offer, the Opera House and all the rest." And he was looking and he found a ticket that was $300 cheaper than all the rest. And he thought, "That's the ticket for me. I'm going to Sydney." So he booked it. He got on the plane. And he got to Toronto. And he thought, "Well, it's strange that they would take me to Toronto to connect to Australia, but here I am." And they directed him to the gates. And at the Toronto airport, sometimes you can have to get on a train and do all of that garbage. And anyway, at the end, he got to a plane, and it was one of those little planes. Just a row on each side. And he thought, "How? Why? is this plane going to get me to Australia? And he got on the plane, and he got up in the air, and he looked at his ticket, and he started to shake his head. He said, this plane is going to Sydney, Nova Scotia. And here, the plane landed, and he went to the gate, and he told them his problem. And he called his father, and he said, Dad, I'm in Canada. I'm not in Australia. And his father got pretty worked up, really. And he said, only someone like you, who's hard-headed and stubborn, would ever end up in Sydney, Nova Scotia, rather than Sydney, Australia. But his father was wrong. Now, we're laughing at the boy. But on that same plane, there was another woman from the United States who thought she was getting off in Sydney, Australia. And here they were in the middle of the winter in Sydney, Cape Breton, right? More than that, there are people over the years who have made that same mistake, so that when the man came up to the wicket for his airline and said, I've made this mistake, the guy said, yeah, it happens a lot. It happens a lot. You might wonder now the reason that I'm telling you this story, but it's really very simple. That young man thought he knew where he was going. He was certain of it, but he didn't pay attention to the details. He didn't ask any questions. And he didn't read the ticket. If he had paid attention, he might have been in the place he wanted to go. If he had asked some questions to people who knew, maybe a travel agent. I know sometimes we think the travel agent's overpaid, but they know the difference between Sydney, Nova Scotia and Sydney, Australia, right? If he had asked the right people, or if he had just read the ticket, he might have avoided all that trouble. Now, tonight, I don't care if you ever go to Sydney, Cape Breton, or if you ever go to Sydney, Australia. But we are going to talk about some destinations. And we're going to ask some simple questions. Do I know where I'm going? Now, not when it comes to leaving this building tonight now. I would say everyone knows how to get home from the Gospel Hall in O'Leary to your house, right? Not the first time you've done it. But we're talking in terms of spiritual things now. So we're not talking about a physical, where am I going tonight? We're talking about a spiritual, where will I be after I die? Do we know where we're going? If we don't know for sure now, if we don't know for sure, are we willing to pay attention? Are we willing to ask the questions? Are we willing to read the Bible? You see, because if we pay attention, ask the right questions, and look in the Bible, we'll be able to find out where we're going. Now, that might sound too simple, but it's not. What I have behind me tonight is a chart that illustrates Bible truth. Those who have been here before, we often get many new visitors in these meetings. It's been very nice, and tonight is no different. We have quite a few people who are here for the first time, and we appreciate that. Those of you who've come before will probably be getting tired of me talking about this chart, but I don't get tired of using it. It's really a collection of different illustrations to tell us about Bible truth. The chart is not the Bible, okay? We don't point you to a chart for the authority for our gospel. We take you to the Bible, the Word of God. But this chart behind me is a collection of illustrations that tell us about Bible truth. So
Each one of these items is connected to a Bible verse. See why I was asking you? Are you willing to read the Bible? Are you willing to look for the answers? Because each one of these connected to Bible truth encourages us to go to our Bible. You will find in the Bible a verse in Hebrews chapter 9, it's verse 27, and it tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. So the artist or the graphic designer who made this chart for us made a little pillar like this. And notice it goes across the whole chart like that, because it doesn't discriminate between people who are going to heaven or people who are going to hell. All of us are going to die. That's why it says it is appointed unto men once to die. But then it says, after this, after death. So that the Bible doesn't just tell us about our lifetime, but it does. The Bible tells us about our lifetime here and now while we're living and breathing. That's on this side of the chart. But the Bible also tells us about eternity after death. Eternity is a word that the Bible uses to describe where you will be forever when you leave this earth. Because we are all going to eventually. Now, there's nothing that we would pray more for and wish more for than your good health. But even the best of health is only going to last a little while. Right? There is nothing that we would like to see, perhaps more than our 100th birthday. But I'm pretty sure if you go down to the villa here, I don't think they call it that anymore, do they? Yeah. But say you go to the old folks' home, even the manor in Alberton, and you ask the oldest person there, you know, you've seen a lot of things in your lifetime. And they would say, yes, saw a lot of things in my lifetime, but didn't it go by quick? Right? Because even 100 years is a real short time compared to forever, right? So we're not up here wishing death on anyone, and we're not up here wishing an untimely death on anyone. We're just up here considering where we will be after we die. And the question, just like we would ask to the man buying the ticket at the airline, do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're going? Now, I pointed to this side of the chart here as separated from this side of the chart here. This is our lifetime. This is where we'll be after we die. Now, you'll notice the chart is also divided in a different way. Not left to right, but up and down. Very simple, isn't it? So that in our lifetime, there's a road going up, there's a road going down. And in eternity, there's a place that is up and there's a place that is down. So that it is very simple, isn't it? In our lifetime, we are either on the way up or on the way down. And in eternity, we will either end up in heaven or end up in hell. The question is not whether or not these things are true. It is where will I personally be when it's all over. I'm convinced that many of us are like the man leaving Europe and thinking he's going to end up in Australia, but he's really going to end up in a different place. There's one thing I think that we should understand from the teaching of the Lord Jesus, and it's this. He doesn't discriminate at all. Now, to be careful, I'll say that again in a different way. The Lord Jesus
doesn't say there are certain people that have the ability and certain people that have the possibility of being in heaven, and there are certain people and they've never been had an opportunity to be in heaven. He never says that. What I was always impressed with growing up is this, that God never said the French can be in heaven or only the English can be in heaven, right? He never says that. God never discriminates by skin color. God never discriminates by culture. But can I tell you this? God also does not discriminate by religion. So that when we look around, we can't say that there are people who are practicing a certain religion who cannot be in heaven, and other people who are practicing a different religion cannot be in heaven. In my day, when I was a little guy, they used to talk about the people that go to that church. Oh, well, they're different than us. And the people that go to that church, well, they're different than us too. And I started to think, well, everyone's a little different, aren't they? But when I ask the right questions and I read the Bible, you know what I find out? Doesn't matter what church you go to. Doesn't matter which language you speak. Doesn't matter which culture you're from. Doesn't matter how you grew up or if you ever grew up. Every single person is exactly the same in the eyes of God. Now that means this. It means that God loves you as much as he loves me. And that God loves me as much as he loves you. Now that might be easy for us to say tonight because we all look around and we see people who are neat and clean and tidy and we say, yeah. They look lovable. Maybe not Dean, but maybe. They look lovable, right? But the fact is that the worst, most reprehensible criminals in the world, God loves them too. So that the president of the United States and the man in the penitentiary in Mexico, God loves them both equally. So that the top religious man in the world, whether you want to call him whatever you want and whatever religion you want to pick, but that man and the man who's never stepped foot inside of a religious building, God loves them all the same, right? We're all the same. But if we accept the fact that we're all the same in the eyes of God because of his love, we also have to come to the Bible and find out that we're all the same in the eyes of God when it comes to sin. So that I'm just as good as you. And you're just as good as me. But when it comes to God's standard, we all fall short. So that the most holy, self-righteous, church-attending person who's done, checked all the boxes, as we say, right? So they've been baptized, they've joined the church, they've done communion, they've done all of those things, so that that person who's wholly dedicated to religion is as much of a sinner as the person who steals, lies, and cheats. See, I'm not making that up. The Bible says it. The Bible says, for there is no difference. Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So don't get the idea that the preachers think they're better than everybody else. The Bible tells us we're not. We're all the same, regardless of religion, background, culture, or language. When it comes to God's love, he loves everyone equally. But we're all the same when it comes to God's condemnation. We're all sinners, right? Now think with me just for a second. The Bible says that the wages of sin is eternal death. The Bible says that because we're all sinners, we all get our spiritual beginning on the road that's going down. So if I was about to buy my ticket and I was trying to get my ticket for heaven, you know what I would have to first of all confess?
I'm not going there right now. It's a tough one sometimes. I was 3 weeks from my 24th birthday before I came to terms with God's word. Not that I didn't know that I was a sinner, and not that I didn't know that I was a sinner heading to a lost eternity, but that I was a sinner who deserved to be in hell. That's a hard one. But if I want to know where I'm going, I got to know which road I'm on, right?
That's almost too simple in my mind. But if I come out the O'Leary Road and go around that roundabout and start taking the Trans-Canada, I guess it's Route 2 up here, isn't it? I keep forgetting. We call it the Western Road. Everyone here who's from here knows the Western Road. And I start taking the Western Road going up north. I'll go past Bloomfield. I'll go past Elmsdale. I'll go past Prophet's Corner. I'll go right into Tignish. And if I keep going, I'll just do a little loop. But there's one thing for sure. One thing for sure. If I start heading north, I'm not going to end up in Summerside. Right? And if I start heading south, I'm not going to end up in North Cape. You say, well, that's very simple. It's silly for you to tell us that. But it's important to understand. In order to know where you're going, we have to know the road that we're currently on, right? So that if I wanted to get to Tignish tonight, and I went out to the O'Leary Corner, and I started going towards Summerside, and someone saw me and said, where do you want to go? I said, well, Tignish, so I'm just going to keep driving. They come and say, listen, if you want to get to Tignish, you're going to have to change your direction. You're going to have to turn around, go the other way. Now I have a choice. Do I keep going because I always think I'm right? And I do always think I'm right, by the way, right? Anyone else here tonight like that? That's why I have a wife, so she can tell me the difference. She's not here tonight. Or do I stop and consider? I might be wrong. Maybe I am going the wrong way. Maybe I do need to change direction. You know, it'd be awful disappointing if I didn't listen and I ended up in a place I didn't want to go. But if I listen to the advice and turn around and go north, I get right to where I want to be. Same thing when it comes to the Bible. Same thing when it comes to eternity. We need to take God's word. If we're on the wrong road, we need to admit it. Because if we don't admit it, we won't turn, right? And if we don't turn, we're going to end up in the place we don't want to be. But if we take God's word, I'm a sinner. If we take God's word, I'm a lost sinner. And if I die the way I am, I'm going to be lost forever. You know what God says? If you want to know the way to heaven, the gospel of all is the only way. That's not right. Some people think their church is the way to heaven. The Bible says nothing about my church being the way to heaven. The Bible says nothing about any church being the way to heaven. If you realize that you're on the wrong road, going to a place that you don't want to go, and you ask the question that Thomas did, how can I know the way? And somebody says, well, you join my church and you'll be fine. That man is not reading the Bible. The Lord Jesus doesn't name a church and he doesn't name a ritual. The Lord Jesus says this, you want to know the way? I am the way. I am the way. He doesn't say, I'm going to show you the way. He says, I am the way. You see, because the gospel is not about a change of religion. The gospel is about a person. We've been hearing that tonight. That person is the Lord Jesus. And that person is the way to God. That person is the way to heaven. So that when he died on the cross, he was opening up this way to heaven for anyone who will come. And everyone who will come. So that there's nobody that I've ever preached to or ever can preach to who can't come to Jesus Christ and begin their way to heaven tonight. They can't. He says, I am the way. So we're stopping. We're like the man now going to Sydney. But we're taking our time when we select the ticket, right? It's too important. We're paying attention. We're asking the right questions. And we're reading the Bible closely. And we find, okay, now, I don't want to be in the place of suffering. Nobody does. I want to end up in the place where Christ is. So here's what I have to do. I'll ask the question, how can I know the way? And I get the answer. I, the Lord Jesus, am the way. The night I trusted the Lord Jesus, it was right over in a house here in O'Leary. You know what happened? I didn't do any good works to try and make God love me more. I didn't say I'll never sin again to try and get God to take me to heaven. I trusted Christ and he took me off this road, put me on this road. That's what the Bible says. He did it. I just came to him. And now I'm going to go a little further. My watch says I got 30 seconds. I'm going to go a little further and tell you what the Bible says. The person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're guaranteed to be in heaven. Now, that's not a guarantee that I made. And it's definitely not a guarantee that anyone here tonight can give you. You see, there's no man walking on the earth, living and breathing right now, who could promise you that you'll never be in hell, but God can. And in his word, he says this, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what that means? The moment a person repents and trusts Christ, they are guaranteed they will never perish, but they will be in heaven forever. There's nothing better than that. So if I'm the boy getting on the plane now, I've considered it carefully. I've asked the right questions. I've read it carefully. And now I know where I'm going. For us tonight, we just want to consider. Have we asked the right questions? Have we read it carefully? Do we know where we're going? We'll pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus and the cross. We are thankful for the mercy that thou hast shown us. Father, we're thankful that that boy who took the wrong flight could change his mind. And although he was embarrassed, he could buy a ticket and get home. Tonight, we think of how important it is for us to know where we're going, because after we're gone, it's too late. Give us thoughts of God tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.